Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, now being done via webcam for the YouTube listeners. And what I'd like to do is basically continue where we left off. I think, what was the last thing you were talking about? Hillary Clinton or some kind of legal jargon or whatnot, was it?
Well, it was regarding BCCI, and I tried to send the documents there, and what I have to do is stick them up in the next couple of days, but I just gave you the document, the Securities Exchange Commission document, Gene Chip Tatum loaded down, part of it. It shows her signature on there, and she was the BCCI attorney representing them initially. So, you know, she's been deeply in bed with them.
In some cases, literally.
Well, yeah. I
mean, not with guys. Not with guys.
Gene's correct. With too many females. She's a lesbian. Definitely a blazing lesbian. And, you know, I think if you were to touch on that subject, it was one of the tabloids out of the American media down there out of Florida that got anthrax had done it. When she was a first lady, had done a expose on her and showed, I think it was 16 or 18 of her lesbian lovers that were going in and outside the White House with comments about Secret Service agents who was saying that she would go into their house and they would be there, and then later they'd see the bedroom light on and they'd look in the living room window and they were going up the stairs of the bedroom, and later the lights were dimmed in the bedrooms. And, you know, this was just a routine with her. A couple times a week she had to go have her lesbian hot sex.
So routine, you know, no pun intended.
Well, whatever. But, you know, she was involved with setting up trusts in the Rose Law Firm, and she was involved with the murder of Vince Foster. I know that. Matter of fact, I have a document, and this is a fact, where Larry Mizell, KeyBank, in a lawsuit, he had to turn over, or he did turn over his diary for the day, on the particular day that Vince Foster was murdered, that he had met with him an hour before the murder. Okay? This is bank bailout scamster. And the only reason he did that is because the attorneys were trying to prove that he was in communication with Key Bank on that particular day regarding certain frauds that were conducted on that day. And he said, oh, no, I'm in Washington. I was meeting several people. Well, in those notes was Vince Foster, 1 hour before he was murdered. So ask yourself the question. I've also known, Gene Chip Tatum knows, Bill McCoy. He's no longer living and breathing because of his exposure of Oklahoma City, but he was a very heavyweight.
Is that where the term the real McCoy comes from?
Boy, it was.
He was a heavyweight. Daddy Bush was scared to death of him, so was everybody. But Bill had tons of stuff. But one of the things Bill found out was there was a yellow pickup truck that went to the White House the day that, or that evening, that they later found Foster's body in the Mercy Park or wherever it was. No mud on his feet, and it was muddy and rainy that night, whatever. There was a Hensel Phelps Construction Company truck that was based out of Greeley, Colorado, is where their home base is. But the Hensel Phelps yellow pickup truck, I remember the license number. I don't have Alzheimer's quite yet, but the license number was RCG702, Little Rock, Arkansas. Went and picked up a rug, and it took three people to carry the rug out. So it was a pretty good-sized rug with a body laying in the middle of the rug, is my understanding. So you could take that for what it's worth.
Now, also, Stu, if you can turn your speakers down a little, there's a bit of feedback.
Yes, I'm sorry. Okay. No problem.
So, when we come down to this, understanding that there are assassin groups and things of that nature, one thing that a lot of conspiracy theorists tell me is that people like myself and David Icke and Alex Jones, anybody who's exposing any kind of government conspiracy automatically gets whacked, and so therefore we're all part of the Illuminati. What do you reckon? You know, is the Illuminati all powerful? Could they just kill anybody, or is there another element involved here? Because I've been talking with a number of people who've had attempts on their life, but it's almost like divine intervention. Like they'll have voices in their heads that tell them, "Don't go there, don't do this," or something like that. And then they find out later on that had they gone there, done that, they would have been killed. So I'm thinking that there's not only this real physical kind of element to the New World Order agenda and suppressing freedom and so on and so forth, but there's also a spiritual element as well. What do you think?
Well, I can tell you, it's out of 17 assassination missions, all 17 were successful on our parts.
Mm.
And sometimes we had to go back a second time, but we got it done.
Okay.
Look, if we want you, if they wanted you, there is no intervention. I'm going to tell you that now. That if they want it,
yeah,
we can do it.
Mm.
Doesn't matter who it is, okay, presidents, premiers.
I do believe in angels of protection. That's my Christian belief. And Psalms 92, he says, if you ask for them, you get them. I remember one time they were trying to get me in Colorado, Gene. And I'm driving on I-25 out of downtown Denver. And I'm going up to where the I-70 ramp is. And I'm in the, you know, the lane to continue north on I-25. And I'm in this little Pontiac Grand Am in 94 I'd bought new. And all of a sudden, I get nearly rammed in the left side. And I'm forced to cut in front of someone and go off on the exit ramp, which would have taken me up around and over and gone west on I-70. Well, all of a sudden, this guy on the right side was trying to squeeze me. He starts coming over into my lane. I'm moving over a little bit, and he's intentionally trying to push me off the road. And then all of a sudden, I felt him clip me. Boom! I went flying. I mean, I went flying in midair, and I screamed, "Help Jesus." This is always God's truth. I came down in the middle of rush hour traffic, landed. I went at least 60, 80 yards up in the air, came down on I-25, landed in the middle of the freeway. And as I landed, here's a freeway. As I landed, I hit like this and started to go this way off the middle. And, of course, I pulled it back. And after I'd screamed, "Help Jesus," I looked in my rearview mirrors. I'm stomping on my gas. Get out of the way. I think I'm going to get crushed. The whole friggin' freeway was stopped behind me. Now, what was happening there? Maybe an angel standing out there said, "Wait a minute."
No, Stu, the divine intervention for you was they didn't send me.
Okay.
So are you saying that there are comparable levels of teams? Like certain teams have 100% success rate, and it's just like, you know, let's try and kill this guy. Yeah, but I don't really feel like making sure that he's dead. Let's just send like the 50-50 guys, you know.
No, we carry what's called the fifth man, and the fifth man always understand his job is to make sure it's done.
Okay.
There was one of the last times they tried to get me. If you want to take a look at this one real quick, here I'll go to share screen. I think it's called. But if you take a look here, I guess is my screen up where it's showing on my website.
No, not at all. Not at all. I think maybe if you turn your webcam off and then do screen share.
Is that the way you have to do it?
Maybe. Okay. I don't know. I've never done this before.
I don't know how to work this. I thought it. I thought you started.
Okay. Are you talking about the pictures of your car mangled and all of that kind of thing?
Right in front of my website, right in the middle. That's where they hit me in the left rear and tried to take me out. They hired FBI was using there were about 14, 15 Somalians over a period of time. We know it's the FBI that did it. And they came up alongside of me. I'm in the middle lane, and all of a sudden I see a separation, and this car's dragging the wall, and all of a sudden, before I get out of the way, he shoots it right in the left. There goes my van. All I could see was a concrete barrier coming up through the windshield three times, broke my neck in six places, so that wasn't a pleasant experience. And two more car crashes, and one of them was a drug hauler. Do you ever remember the name Stevens Truck Driving School? You remember that, Gene, from Arkansas, hauling the drugs out of Mena? Well, an IRS agent tried to bust him some 20 some odd years prior. After I turned in Silverado, she calls me up and she says, "Mr. Webb, you know, I'm an agent with the IRS. You turned in your ex-in-law and all the Silverado stuff. Can I meet with you?" I said, "Sure." So she came out of the house, met with me. And she says, "What do you know about this so many millions of dollars in this Jay's truck driving school from here in Kansas City, and I said, I know nothing about it. And so then I started digging with some different ones and started asking, because I had gotten a little bit of a wind that there was some stuff coming out of Arkansas. And I knew the Arkansas State Patrolman down there, that later they anthraxed, and I started working with him quite often. But Jay's truck driving school had laundered, they were picking up drugs that was part of the MENA operation in Joplin, Missouri, and then would bring it into Kansas City, into Omaha, and into St. Joe, Missouri. And this was Jay Stevens was his name. And so, anyway, she calls me up about 3 weeks later and said she had been fired from the IRS. I said, what? Oh, yeah, over this is so hot, and all this other, over some kind of special accounts at Silverado, and over to the Jays thing. So I helped her get it on TV5 here in Kansas City, KCTV5. It was Stan Kramer and Stan Carmack, both helped us produce that. And that was the summer that they actually put the heat on me and came after me with a warrant shortly after that. I'd come across Gunther Rusbacher during that period of time. And Gene, you knew Gunther. You had met with him and you knew him. That was the first CIA. And he was in prison. His wife was, his former wife, I'll tell you a quick story, is Rumor Mill News. And she had a husband that was a colonel, reportedly. He ends up dead. Gunther had been dating her, and she was trying to seduce him. And then she convinces him, gets him drunk, convinces him to marry her one night. And I guess they did it in Las Vegas or something like that. Well, 2 weeks later, guess what? He's in a prison cell, or a month later, he's in a prison cell set up where she had set him up. Her husband, before she married him, was dead 2 days before mysterious death. Then he gets out of jail. He's with her for less than 2 weeks, and he runs off to Austria, because he didn't want anything to do with her. Well, I've heard a lot of bad things about Rumor Mill News and Ray Allen Rusbacher since we're outing the APEC-controlled stooges. You could ask a lot of questions. Why does she have Knights Templars on her website? Why does she not allow true information to be posted up there? Why is it always Spin Doctor? Because I outed, I'm going through this outing period where we're outing the stooges, just like APEC-controlled Alex Jones, stooge. It's time to start saying again who they really are. But the point that I was making is that, heck, I don't know. I was someplace with it on that.
That's commonly known as a fail. Here's the other element as well. Chip, you're telling me that they want Stu alive, they want you alive, and they want me alive, otherwise we'd be dead? Like, there's... Why not tie up the loose end? Why let you turn whistleblower? Why let you come out and do and talk about these things?
I can talk about me. I can't talk about why you guys are still around, but I can talk about me. When I was charged with treason, I had the opportunity to present my case to a federal judge, and I laid the evidence out, some of the evidence out in front of him. And that evidence that I laid out in front of him, stating that, you know, they're really just trying to get me, get a felony on me so that if I do, am called to testify against them, I won't be credible because I'm a felon at that point. That's their ploy on that. They knew they couldn't take me out because of everything I had planted all around the world. They certainly didn't want that to happen. But the things I'm allowed to talk about and can talk about to you guys today are the things that were involved in that court case in what's called a SEPA briefing. It's called Classified Information Procedures Act. They close the doors. We go in behind closed doors. You have the judge. You have the U.S. attorney. You have my attorneys, and you have a stenographer, and that's it. And all of those have to have security clearances. They make the decision in that SEPA briefing whether the information that I intend to use in my defense is classified or not. The judge said, well, judge looked at everything we had, who I worked for, everything else, and he said, well, this is what I think, gentlemen. I think it's not classified. I'm going to call it not classified, because if I call this classified, I have to get the jurors, all security clearances for all the jurors. We're talking about a year down the road for this whole court case to take place. We have to get all the attorneys and everyone who's going to be in there, the the bailiffs, the marshals all have to have top secret clearances. And he said, and that's very time consuming, and we may end up having to go through new jury selections. Some of them may not pass this. So he said it could be 1, 2, 3 years down the road. So I'm going to say that this is not classified, but I'm also going to say that you cannot use it in your defense. And that's a matter of fact in the record, federal court records, and I'll have those up on the site. They're already on the internet somewhere, I believe, in several places.
Mm. So basically, the reason why they ain't going to kill you is because it'll actually wind up worse for them because all your information will come out, right?
Exactly.
So you've got them by the short and curlies to a degree.
And I can't go into certain areas because if I go into areas that weren't in that CEPA briefing, there's 25-year statute of limitations minimum on that classified period. So and that carries me if I that was in 1992 when I left. So I've got till 1917.
And I've done the same.
I've got 25 years to wait to talk about some of the stuff. So the stuff that was in that briefing, I can talk about, and I'm talking about. Items, there's so much more. Oh, there's so much more, Vinny, but I can't talk about it. If I do, I can face 25 years in prison.
And Vinny, I'm like, I've learned from Gene and learned from others in his level. There's several of them that I know on his level, probably a dozen, that provide me, a lot of them still provide me with information. And I mean, there's people that Gene was probably in a level 4, 3, 4, because he worked for Ollie North and George Herbert Walker Bush both. Al Martin, we both know him, knew Bill McCoy, Gene or Terry Reed, which doesn't live far from me. He doesn't live far. Larry Nichols. I mean, there's been several whistleblowers out here over the years that have come out. But, there's not many that were in the level that Gene Chip Tatum and Gunther Rosbacher that's been public and I think a few others. There's not many that were in that level that have ever come out and spoken. I think Gene's been the most outspoken one, him and Al Martin. And Al Martin kind of got camera shy, should we say, or radio shy for a while. He has a book, The Conspirators Out, AlMartinRaw.com. So what you're hearing, has been said. A lot of the things were said by Gene here back in 95 to 97. I mean, I must have done 100 radio programs with him to introduce him into patriots such as yourself to say, okay, Vinny, you got a real player here. Take it from here. Next time you put him on, you don't need me. I'm just introducing him into the patriot world right now and those concerned Americans and let you hit him with the questions later on so you get familiar with him. Well, God, Gene, how many shows did you do? 500 back then? I think in a year and a half, a year at a time.
Hundreds. So, and, Vinny, one thing I want to say is, the reason I came back, I'm coming back now as a friend has convinced me to do this. I didn't intend on coming back out when I came back to the United States. But she said, let me tell you something, Chip. What you said back then has more relevance now because the things you said were going to happen have actually happened. And now it's not a conspiracy, it's a fact.
Well, what do you mean? Did you make a whole bunch of predictions that came true thing?
A whole bunch, a whole list of them.
Regale me.
Okay. Federal prisons being built on military installations. Before they started putting the prisons on military installations, I explained to them. We sat in meetings, planning meetings in Jupiter Island with Mr. Bush, Cheney, All of my bosses. North carried on. He didn't, when he left military service, he still carried through with the OSGs. And they had planning meetings. We would sit there in these meetings and they would plan out, the operations that were coming up on a quarterly basis. We'd have planning meetings. We would sit and we would hear the FEMA plans. A lot of people didn't know of Rex 84 when it was written. I was telling him about Rex 84, and then finally, in the 90s, it came public. The use of FEMA and the executive orders that can take away all power of Congress. I was trying to explain that to people. They just couldn't believe that that would ever happen in the United States, that Congress could be taken out of the quotient. But it's happened. I talked to him about the kill lists that the president have, how we have lists. I showed him a copy of the order, an executive order that shows authorization to kill someone. And why? They couldn't believe that the United States would assassinate people.
There were a lot of, a lot of older patriots, should we say, at that time, that was the movement with Ross Perot and the Third Independent Party, and that was the movement with what was called the militias and a lot of the other patriots. I mean, they weren't afraid to come out. They'd come out of their houses, go to a meeting. 1,000 people attend a meeting. I spoke at many of those meetings. They weren't chicken. Now we got all these people that want to sit around a frigging computer and watch a video and post their favorite disinformation stories that they see off of these DEPA sites, these Israeli disinformation sites, and these talk show hosts that want to lie to people that are stooges or post up on the rumor mill. That's all it is a mill of rumors and lies, because they take down any real thing that would ever be posted up there. And the Alex Jones, the boogeyman's going to come get you. The military's going to come get you. But he says in the past week, according to one source of mine who's monitoring him, a U.S. intelligence agency is monitoring him because he's going to get arrested as a co-conspirator one of these days to treason and sedition with the Israelis and putting out disinformation about the Boston bombing and Newtown shooting and other things. And those that co-conspired as well, Glenn Beck and others, will probably be arrested because they've done it for a number of years. But, his statement was in the past week, oh, I wish I had the money. I think I would move to Switzerland now. Well, you better get out of the country if you're going to go, because Abe Foxman just ran off to Israel, left his $500,000 a year job. There's a whole bunch of Israelis are going to be arrested soon with AIPAC and ADL and all this treason that went on. And Stooge, I've asked for special permission. I probably won't be given it. I just want to be deputized for 3 days. I want to carry the badge and the duct tape handcuffs to go in and arrest these bastard stooges that have been out here in the alternative so-called media that's putting out all the stiff's information. And I'd really like to get Alex Jones to put the handcuffs on him. But I will challenge Alex Jones, and I've done it on another program, that here's the deal. I will tie, and you decide, Alex Jones, which hand you want to tie behind my back. Anything goes, barehanded, anything goes, and I will meet you in the ring. And if you kick my ass out of the ring, I shut up permanently forever. If I kick your ass out of the ring, you shut up permanently forever. And the first thing I'm going to do to you is I'm going to rip your ears off and hand them to you before the fight starts. We're going to stop there, okay?
Okie dokie, Stu. Maybe a little over the top, but fair enough.
Okay, that's fair enough, isn't it? When you think so, hey, good guy versus the bad guy. Let's see who takes who on. Come on.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can have that. You can have that. Me personally, I'm just kind of like, I'm in a league of my own, you know. So if Alex Jones wants to come and attack me and so on and so forth, you know, so be it. I'll start coming after him and what have you. But you guys are breaking up really significantly there. Do you want to turn your speakers down a little bit there, Chip?
Did you have something to play there, Chip?
Okay. Well. Anyway.
Put on my earphones.
Okay. That's probably a good idea.
Here's what,
actually.
Here's what Gene sent me the other night. Said you ought to put this up. He said after years.
Hey, I just came up with a joke. Actually, you know how he said that Alex Jones working for AIPAC and how he used to be a smoker. I wonder what kind of cigarettes he smoked. Did he smoke AIPAC cigarettes?
No.
He might have. Here's the tape that Gene sent me the other night. He says, oh, man, you need to. Okay, let me see if I can play it here. Yeah. Oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening.
So here's my challenge. I'm gonna get you, rip your ears off, bitch! Give me in a ring, punk!
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Texas is gonna be on fire tonight. It's gonna start in the oil fields, I'm sure.
One hand, Jacob Jones, tell me which one!
Okay. Maybe we're going off a little off topic here. Well, maybe we're going a little off topic here. Let's move on, or rather, let's move back to assassinations, predictions, and these kind of things. Because here's another element that I actually want to get into. Because if this system exists, and it's so exists to kill the political enemies of the elite and so on and so forth, how do you resist such an enemy? Because I don't think it matters whether or not you know and you're aware of a team of ruthless criminal assassins that have 100% kill rate, because even if you know that, you're 100% freaking dead, aren't you?
Yes.
So, here's the question. What's the point in even talking about this then? If there's nothing we can do.
let me give you a prime example of this.
Yeah.
When we were in Nicaragua, in Honduras, we fought that war for years. I believe the Contras started in 1980, and they went through 1989. And finally, in 1989, the whole idea was to get Daniel Ortega, the then Sandinista president, to acquiesce and go and allow new elections. We fought the war. We had the Contras in there. They were pillaging the country with our support, and they really weren't getting where they needed to get. So what we did is we went to Ortega, and we told Ortega, this is what we're going to do, Mr. President of Nicaragua. You choose your family member, anyone you want, and we're going to kill that family member. And in 2 weeks, if you don't call for national elections, we're coming after you. And there's nothing you can do to stop us. He wouldn't choose the family member, of course. So we chose his cousin. And we told him, okay, this is who we're going to take out. And we're going to take him out in 2 weeks. You can put him wherever you want. He put him in El Alcatal on a military base in the middle of Russian Hind helicopters, a battalion of the highly trained guard that he had. And on that day, in 2 weeks, his cousin was found dead, blown up in the hooch that he lived in by a missile. If nothing you can do, if someone really wants to do it, they're going to do it, and especially if it's a professional team.
Okay, then second question: how do you stay off that list? I think this might actually be some good advice, you know.
I honestly don't think that just talking about things, a lot of people go out there and they talk about things, that's not going to put you on the list. You're going to get on that list if you're someone who they really know knows. Someone who is actually has information that can be presented that can actually do harm to them. Talk's cheap. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Talk's pretty cheap. And unless you're an actual living threat to them, they're not going to waste their time because they have too many real threats out there to deal with. Look, it takes a lot of money. When we would be pulled on a mission, I'd go to Key Bank. We'd pull $250,000 out and we'd go out on the mission. That's about what it costs for us to run one of the missions. Once, because we're paying each other, I had to pay my men in cash. We had our fuel, we had our arms, we had everything we had to do. Within the 2 days, that $250,000 line of credit at the bank was replenished to Key Bank, and we could go again. But it takes 3 or 4 weeks to do the planning and the pre-mission planning and everything to pull one of these off. You don't just look. He's leaving. Jump in the car and chase him. that doesn't happen like that. Not like in the movies.
I was actually, as I said, I mentioned I interviewed Ole Damegaard last night, and he was explaining to me the template version, because he's analyzed a number of these assassinations. And everything that you've described about the timing of it, how many people in the team, and the selection of targets and everything like that, he told me last night. So you've kind of corroborated his story. And
something out real quick, too, is the Key Bank was owned by Larry Mizell and Leonard Millman, the APEC boys right out of Denver, Colorado. And matter of fact, it was even brought up, I think, in 1995 by Henry Gonzalez before his retirement. And he was House Banking Chairman, because I used to talk to him probably a dozen times between 91 directly with the congressman. He was a good congressman. And he was after him again on Key Bank for money laundering. It became the new Silverado Savings Bank. Now I can tell you right now where it is. It's called Orchard Bank in Inglewood, Colorado. Who controls that? Larry Mizell. That's where MDC headquarters is, right there on DTC Parkway. We're out there on North Street. So if the feds wanted to get to the drug money laundering, just go to Orchard Bank, folks.
Also, one of the easiest ways to get your drug money laundered is if you have a company registered on the New York Stock Exchange. Because if you've got it registered on the New York Stock Exchange, you don't have to file a transaction receipt to explain where your money comes from if you make deposits of over $10,000. And apparently, Pepsi and Coke have been implemented in billions of dollars of drug money laundering.
Well, the head of Coca-Cola in Nicaragua was one of our targets, as a matter of fact.
Tell them about it. Tell them about it. Gene?
Adolfo Calero was the head commander of the Nicaraguans. And Calero wanted money. He wanted a piece of the action. And they weren't going to give it to him. He also wanted the presidency. He was the head of Coca-Cola. He was with them from early years, with the enterprise from early years. And he was so bold, he came out and he told Bush, if you don't give me what I want, you're history. The whole world will know what we were doing. The way they neutralized him was using the satanic type worship technique. They took a Russian transvestite out of New York, sent her down to a Caribbean island, gave Adolfo a free trip to the to a Caribbean island on vacation. We fed them both with a drug called Burundanga. Burundanga is a derivative, a type of scopolamine, but it's much, much stronger than the normal scopolamine. And when a person takes this drug...
I don't even know what scopolamine is.
They used it in the 50s to get women through childbirth, and they would forget all the pain that they were going through. They would do whatever they said. If they say push, 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 the women would push, push, push. Because on scopolamine, you have complete control of your target. You'll have to redose them every few hours, but you can keep them under your control for – we've kept them up under control for 2 weeks. Beyond that, we started running into problems. They started going blind and dying on us. So we knew that we could only keep them under control for 2 weeks. But we would – this is a powder, very, very fine powder. You know when you open up a stick of gum and you see that little white powder? That's about how much that little white powder it would take to dose a person, and he's in your complete control within a few minutes. The good thing about it, they'll do anything you tell them to do, and they'll have complete amnesia when their effects wear off.
Reminds me of the book How to Create a Total Mind Controlled Slave.
Works. It works. You know that they tested it in the Ultra program. In other programs, it's pretty historical, but they didn't test this version of it. It comes from a plant up in the high mountains of Peru, one of the different flowers. It's a trumpet flower that comes out of there. It's called datura, and they use the seed pods of the datura, the red and orange datura, yellow and red and orange looking. Now we took Calero and we put him on an island. We drugged him. We drugged the transvestite. We introduced him to the transvestite in a bar, sent him back to their room together, and had the the video rolling, 24 frames, going at it, and it shows him having sex with her, her having sex with him, and shows him going right down and taking that big thing of that transvestite. And then the satanic part of it is when it was all said and done, they had him kill her. They had him cut her heart out and take a bite out of it. Now, if you know anything about the Catholic culture, you know that if that ever gets out, no matter what, drugged or not, you're finished. You're done. Hmm. 2 weeks later, I know that this happened because I saw the video. I wasn't there. I just saw the video because I was the man that delivered the video to Adolfo Calero. I met him in his office in Coca-Cola, and he acquiesced to see me. He received the video. He received the letter from Bush, and he sat there in tears. I got to tell you, I've seen some pretty gory stuff in my life, but I've never seen anything like that.
And there was a little another little thing that occurred was that according to Pete Bruton's book, now I didn't find this, but apparently Al Martin had given it to him. And Gene knows Al. Matter of fact, Al was the one that turned me on to Gene initially to get noise level raised back in the 90s. And Al had given in Pete Bruton's book, The Mafia, CIA, and Bush, about the Coca-Cola chairman, how there was a land swap, and he had this huge block of land in the DuPont land, they call it, down there in Florida, and encompassed about 1/16th of the state of Florida. Well, that land ended up being swapped with Millman, Mike's in-law, that had the Belize property, because there were 16,000 acres in Belize that he owned that was in hot water with the DEA, that they knew there was all these drugs being hauled out of there. So they swapped land, and then Coca-Cola went down and they hung a sign, or someone did, Tree Sweet Orange Juice, Coca-Cola. And so they made it look like they had just purchased this land and got Leonard Millman out of the hot seat over that land. And then when you look at the DuPont land, you'll see Neil Bush and Gulfstream Realty all of a sudden all over every place. And that was L. Millman and N. Bush, as in Neil Bush, that was working for my ex-in-law at Silverado.
In the 70s, Belize is one of the prime areas we used to do our CIA and special ops arms shows. They'd come in from around the world, put arms out on the airport, shut down the airport, and sell them.
I've got this philosophy that the 70s is the one decade in history where any actions that you do during the 70s are excused because it was the 70s.
I can buy that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, you guys have both lived through the 70s. You know exactly. Everything you did in the 70s was perfectly justifiable. Hey, it was the 70s, man.
Hey, 70s were the rock and roll and disco days, right?
That's it.
Yeah. In fact, I kind of...
kids then, Gene.
Huh?
Huh?
I said Gene and I were young kids. I'm 59, and you're up in here. You're what, 61 or 2, are they? Right there.
62,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, well, those were the wild, the good old times. Those were the good old days. But
for us, we were cowboys. With the people I worked back in those days, were just the cowboys.
Yeah.
Could go anywhere, could do anything, and we didn't have everything being able to track us. None of this stuff, none of this electronic stuff that could track us back then. And all through the 80s too. I mean, we were pretty free to do what we wanted to in the 80s too. After the mid 80s, things started changing a little bit.
Well, what happened in the mid 80s? Was that the Iran-Contra scandal or something like that?
Yeah, that's after that, a lot of the trust of the all the entities of the government, all the friction started coming out. There was a lot of mistrust. There was a lot of oversight done for the CIA and intelligence. And then the real kicker was in the 90s. When Clinton came into office, what happened with Clinton is because Clinton had declared that he smoked marijuana, but he didn't inhale it. And under U.S. law, he cannot have a security clearance. So the CIA refused to give him a security clearance. At that time, he took the CIA out of all embassies, and he replaced it with the FBI. Huh. And so that's where the CIA lost their intelligence gathering abilities, because they were physically overtaken by the FBI.
Wow.
Wasn't Bill Clinton the guy that was, while he was shoving cigars in Monica, he was saying that he wasn't getting that a blowjob wasn't a sex? Isn't that what I was
talking about? No. I never had sex with her. She had sex with me. All right? It's totally different.
He smoked those cigars after he had hot sex with her.
That's kind of like waterboarding isn't torture, huh?
Yeah. Or U.S. elections are free, or there's such a thing as democracy in the United States. You know, it's just like, well, actually, no. Democracy means mob rule, and as far as I know, the mob is a criminal organization, and they rule the United States, right? Or at least a mob of some form or another, right? So technically, America is a democracy. If you look at it that way, that it's a place where they have a political stage for the criminals to get elected.
Well, you know, there used to be at least two parties in the United States. Now there's only one party line. Yeah. And that one party line is all these congressmen and senators standing in the line to get their money from the special interest groups, from the PACs.
Yeah.
That's the one party line. That's all that there is now. Somebody
said a number of years ago that all it takes to bribe every single congressman and senator in the United States is actually quite a small amount, only like $30-plus million a year. And that's it.
Oh, not even. You don't even have to pay him. Not with the things that we did. Look at Gary Hart. We took him out pretty quick.
Well, in fact, that reminds me of the MK Ultra programs, again, in the 70s, so it's okay, where they would get congressmen and they would drug them up on LSD or something like that, take them into little apartments that they had all the cameras and everything set up, get them to have sex with these people and or kill them, as you know, some similar to the story you told them, not so that they could release that information, just so that they could continually, forever, blackmail them into doing and passing whatever laws that they want.
And that's exactly what they did with Calero. They never released the information, but he always did exactly what they wanted.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Why would you give up your own life in order to do the right thing if the very people that you're trying to do the right thing against have so much over you that they can destroy your entire life and get nobody to believe you so that you can't even accomplish anything, even if you wanted to, except destroy your own life?
Exactly.
Boom. I freaking gotcha.
Head on.
Remember, America, Israeli's bitch.
Mm.
Just look on my website, stuweb.com, look at the middle column, and look at what we have in Jerusalem since 1991. It was given to me by intelligence. I put it up. If you take a look at it, it is the NSA base in Jerusalem. And what they're doing is 24/7, their technology's off the charts. They are sitting here watching us. They're listening to us. They can mind control you now through your TV, through your computer, or your cell phone, or your ground line. They don't have to put a chip in you. They don't have to do some of the tricks they used to do that Gene had done in the past and others. They don't have to do that anymore. That look at the Naval Yard shooter. As soon as the war in Syria was killed by basically good guys inside intelligence in our government, stop that war. Prove that the Syrians did not attack its people with sarin gas and that it was the Al-Qaeda, which is Daddy Bush's privatized army, financed by Saudi Arabia, done by Israel and the Mossad over there in Syria. It stopped everything. Russia, Putin stepped in, saved Barack Obama's face. And then what's the next thing the Israelis want to do? And the APEC boys, Bibi and his APEC boys, they want to start a war with what? Iran? Okay, that was also stopped. All of a sudden, we have a peace pact. There's a movement by good guys to put a halt to all this. Now, that happened. Okay, and if you look at why is it that Israel put a base in 1991? It ties back with Inslaw software. It ties back with E-Systems and the Westar satellite system, the original ones that were spying on us. I've released this on many, many shows. And it ties back even with that stooge at Ted Gunderson and Michael Reconosciuto that he put in jail, who developed the Inslaw. And that was the prosecutor software that they figured out to put back trap doors. Now, I've written about all this in the past 3 weeks to try to explain it out, to lead up to the NSA base that's over there. And I've put that out. I've also put out about Jack Abramoff, who I helped get indicted with Carol Lamb, one of the fired U.S. attorneys. And she has put, or I put that out about this blackmail ring, child sex whorehouses in Washington. You know, the typical thing. They get them in a cocktail party, and they got the voodoo drug. They slip into their drink, and the next thing you know, Daddy Bush is around the corner because he likes the little kitties. He's a pedophile. He's around the corner with the camera, and he comes in and shows them how to get the party started. And that's basically what was going on with Jack Abramoff at three different hotels in Washington. Now, on the front of my website, the middle column, is a lot of those links of recent stories where I'm beginning to release stuff and tie it together where people understand it. Now, why do we have the State of Israel hooked up live direct to all of our intelligence, know where all our submarines are, all of our nukes live? They have everything and beyond what the NSA has. Shouldn't that be stopped like that after that report was set on the president's desk and that copy of that media report that I put on Veterans Today? Shouldn't that be stopped immediately? Where's the Justice Department? Where's the NSA shutting off the switches? I asked that question. That needs to be addressed. These bitches in Israel control the Congress and Senate, and the way they've been able to do it is because of this, because of that base going back to Daddy Bush in 1991. This guy has committed more treason and more sedition against America than anybody has ever done that I'm aware of that lives today. Would you be in agreement with that, Chip?
I'd say more than America, against the world. That's where we work, was international basis.
Yeah. How would you describe this man? Would you describe him good or evil?
The most evil man I have ever met. There's no doubt. And I've been down in the trenches with all the bad guys. You know, I've been in Colombia with all the drug dealers. I personally know the Escobar family and all the people in that arena. I've been in the down and dirty in the trenches with them, in the gutters with them. I've met some pretty nasty people in my life, but no one equals him.
I wanted to ask you a question, Chip, and I hope you don't get offended by this line of questioning. It's just to find out your psychological state of mind. Psychopathy is the ability to not have empathy. I want to know, do you actually feel guilt for these people that you've killed over the years? You know, do you have trouble sleeping, that kind of thing?
No, they were pretty well scumbags. So, they were bad. You know, when you first get into government service, you're, as a young recruit, I was all gung ho for America, apple pie, you know, to do what we can to defend America. But as you move up through the hierarchy, you start seeing more and more of what's really going on. And I would see that. And in 1992, I just got right there, fed up, and I walked away when they asked us to neutralize Ross Perot. And that's what ensued on me receiving the charge of treason. However, I know I did my job well. I was one of the best at what I did, and they knew I did my job well, one of the best at what I did. My job, I feel good about myself because I did do my job well. Had I done a crummy job, yeah, I'd feel bad about it. Had they been innocent angels, I might feel bad about it. But, you know, I'm a warrior. I've killed thousands of people in war, in Vietnam and Grenada. I mean, looking through my years in combat and years, and when I talk about assassinations, those are just direct assassinations. Dropping bombs, flying high level, dropping bombs. You know, I can't tell you how many thousands of people have died from the buttons that we push.
Hmm. And do you remember what your first kill was, and how did it make you feel?
My first kill was a rabbit.
No, I mean, I'm talking about a human being. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes, it was in Vietnam. It didn't make me feel too bad. You know, the son of a bitch was shooting at me.
So you just kind of like, he's shooting at me, I shoot back, he's dead. Yeah. Thank goodness for that.
I was raised with guns as a young man. We'd go hunting with my father every weekend, always taught gun safety. I had no problems using a gun, but if someone's going to shoot at me, I'm going to make sure that I get them first. Mm. If someone's going to fight with me, I'm going to make sure I'm the first one to swing. If anyone even comes near threatening, they're going down. They're not going to know that it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. I don't wait for them. All I have to do is feel the threat. I feel the threat. It's done.
Yeah. And you've not engaged in like torture or ritual sacrifice or anything of that nature. There was no commandments like that. It's simply take out the targets by the necessary means, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Benny, I understand where Chip comes from. I've never killed anybody. I've damaged a few people that attacked me in self-defense. The last one was a 300-pound gorilla. I messed him up. I think there were 3 fingers broken, about 6 ribs. His eyeball was ripped out of his head, and he's still standing there, and I took half his ear off just to teach him a lesson, go home. He was in the hospital for 2 weeks because he decided to jump me. I won't even get into the story. I thought it was some of the Sod's dudes. But I was Marine Corps trained. I military trained like Chip has been. His has been a little bit different. But I'll put it this way. You know, if I had to kill somebody in self-defense, yeah. And if I were working probably, you know, if I'd gone in and been involved with what he did, thinking he was doing the right thing, you know. When you're young and you're in the military, you're dumb, aren't you, Gene? You follow orders. You do what you're
told. Young, dumb, and full of cum. That's what they say.
Yeah. And so you do what you're told to do. And, you know, you're trained to do that. And if it becomes necessary, you do it. But, you know, so many people that, like Gene, that I've come to know, I know a lot of people, most of them, the super spooks, I call them, have all been involved in these different assassination programs and different things. And they're all good people. But many of them, as they said, Stu, got out of hand in the 1980s. It just went out of control to where they're so compartmentalized that one guy's doing one thing over here, somebody else is doing something over here, and someone else, and they're all working operations, and they really don't know what the bigger picture is. But then after about a month, they figure out what the bigger picture is, and they're going, shit, I'm really in deep trouble now if they ever wanted to use it against me. Now, is that about truth?
Dead on, yep.
Now, I've had this philosophy for a while, and you're kind of contradicting it here somewhat. People ask me, you know, why don't any of the bad guys ever get assassinated? Like, you never see the George Bushes and the Henry Kissingers of this world get assassinated. You know, why is that? Why is it always the John Lennons and the so on and so forth? All the people are like, oh, be peaceful, love everybody. Bam, right in the head.
You're paying the taxes to pay the sources or the Secret Service to continually keep them guarded. Why do they like those positions in government? Maybe that could be part of it. Mm. Why is George Bush got a taste tester, his chef? Sorry, you got to eat the food first, pal. Even his booze, he makes him open it up and start drinking some, right, Chip?
Well, is it
he's
because
pretty,
they're totally paranoid?
These days, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you would be and you should be. But the thing is, those bad people never get assassinated. And my thought was, it's because only a good person would want to see them get assassinated, and good people don't assassinate people.
That's probably about right, too.
Well, I kind of classify myself as a good person, but I hear Leonard Millman's ghost is walking around on the Isle of Cuba, and I want to go down there with a .50 caliber and make sure it's dead. Here in the United States.
No, but see, again, we can always talk about wanting to go and do this, but we never do.
Hey, if someone would donate me the boat and donate me the .50 caliber with the scope, I'll sit right on the boat, pick it off. I'm getting a little bit older. I have to put reading glasses on to see fine print. They got this new scope. You just aim it in, and I can get right on your eyeball, Benny. And kaboom, he pulls the trigger itself. $1,000 right off the internet.
Well, there you go.
Anybody want me to go shoot a ghost, I'll be happy to.
Okay.
I don't know what law I'd be violating. I saw a dead man. I
mean, now, do you have a PayPal account where people could donate your assassination money?
My website. I need my .50 caliber, my scope, and my boat ticket.
Stu, years ago there was a paper written called Assassination Politics by a man named Bell. That was a very interesting concept. Maybe that's what you need to do. You start putting names out there, and then people bid on what they're willing to pay to see that person go. And the accounts get higher and higher and higher until they're high enough that someone picks up that contract and goes after them.
Yeah. And the corporates wouldn't do that though, because they prefer no bid contracts. Okay, guys, we'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Ladies and gentlemen, bear in mind this is a listener supported broadcast only. So if you want to donate some assassination money to me, go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. There is a Kiwi Bank account there for your assassin money, and also a PayPal there. And please, there are lots of bad people that need to be executed. So start up a regular recurring donation, you know, like on a monthly basis or something like that. We'll start up a list. We'll take them out. You know, it'll be fantastic at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. That's Vinnie with a Y, because it's the most important question. And Eastwood isn't go ahead. Make my news. We'll be right back, folks.